top of the morning to your Deesa. You smoothie me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole latte da. You do the Zumba but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Thank you.
favor in your life.
Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Deadline. Well, listen to me this morning, because I'm not exactly sure, positive, which way I'm coming. But the Holy Spirit then interrupted, changed two or three times. But I guess this is the bottom line. I need you to pray against the spirit of suicide this morning. I've been up in and out all night praying with some parents that God, I praise him and thank him, supernaturally woke them up at exactly 3:33, and I have been down on my knees. I realize I can't stay on my knees as long as I used to because it hurts, you know. But anyway, they called me at 3:33 and said God told him to call me. And I'm thinking at 3:33. And when they called me, they said they didn't know why they were calling, but they called because God said it. I think that's just great. And right at the time when they said it, I said to them, I kept hearing this thump or crash or something. And I said, do you hear this noise? They said, yeah. I said, don't you have a son? They said, yeah. I said, where is he? They said, in the bedroom. I said, drop this phone and go in the bedroom now. When they went in the bedroom, the boy was hanging from a rope around his neck, and the thump I heard was his foot when they kicked the chair over. To make a long story short, he had cried out that he didn't want to die right as he kicked the chair over. They ran in there and got him, and Jesus saved his life, and Jesus saved his heart. To God be the glory. And they didn't want to call the paramedics, because if they called the paramedics, they were going to, you know, lock their son up for psychiatric evaluation. And I noticed I had been talking about that lately. So the young man agreed to let me take him through deliverance. And he had cried out to God just at the point when he kicked the chair over. And God let me hear the chair. And God woke them up and told them to call me. And this is just like a New Testament happening. Remember, God spoke to Ananias to go to Saul. God spoke to Saul and told him Ananias was coming. Well, I prayed with them, and they say that the burn marks disappeared off his neck, the red thing from the thing. But you know what? It disturbed me so much that I couldn't go back to sleep. I couldn't, because I wanted to know why. Now, I know you're not, but the only way I could find out anything is I have to ask God. And here is a young man. he's not suffering for anything. His parents both work hard. They have good jobs. And he's the only child. So they They lavish things on him. So I had to call him back. All of this only took about, I don't know, maybe 20-something minutes. 20-something minutes. And so I said to them, why don't you want to call the paramedics to make sure your son is okay? And they said, well, we know God, and we know how this happened. We called you, and you heard something, and our boy's life was saved. And this is what I said to them. I said, look, I don't know anything about what happens when you choke like that. I don't even know who told your boy to do this. I said, but I know it wasn't God, and I know that God saved him. I said, but would you just do me one thing? And they said, what? Everybody else can hear all right on Spreaker? Can you hear me on Spreaker? Okay. I said, do you have a friend or somebody who's a nurse or physician's assistant or a doctor? They said, yeah. I said, would you call them and ask them to come to your house and examine your son and make sure he's okay? I said, because if there's something wrong with him, we'll know how to pray. If anything happened to him during the short time between when he kicked the chair over and you got up there, and because when you first went in there, you didn't have, you know, you the daddy just lifted him up so that the pressure would be off his neck. And then they cut him down. I said, and I would like to ask him one thing. And they said, okay. So I'm still up from that. And praise God, their neighbor was a doctor and a good friend of theirs. And so they wanted to know, and I wanted to know too, why did he do this? He said, the voice told me to do it. I said, really? Now, this is the first time I've ever had a chance to minister to somebody that was hanging themselves, and in a matter of seconds, their life had been saved. So I said, with them as a witness, what voice? What the voice sound like? Who did the voice tell you it was? He said, the voice said that it wanted me to enter into heaven's gate. I said, what? He said, the voice said it wanted me to enter into heaven's gate. But in order to enter into heaven's gate, I had to die first. In order for me to get to God, I had to die first. I said, can I take you through deliverance right now? Now, this is what he told me with his natural. So, I haven't taken him through deliverance yet because he went to sleep. He said, oh, I'm just so tired. And the doctor, who is still making the house call, because I'm dealing with believers here, He said, I'm not going to leave him until he wakes up. And I examined him again. So I want you to pray with me. And I want to bind all false, lying, demonic voices, all false, lying, demonic instructions that Satan is now giving to people how to get to God and how to get to heaven. Now, what I'm wondering about is this family lives in California. And I'm wondering, oh yeah, he said one other thing, that he's been corresponding with them over the internet for a while. So I'm wondering once again if this has anything to do with that cult of Heaven's Gate. The fact that they're still operating, still causing people to commit suicide. So I suggested to them that they go to the police about this. When I heard the word Heaven's Gate, I just almost like, no, not again. Not again. They're not still causing people to die. Not again. And I have the number to the doctor because he could be in a trance-like state. I'm not certain because I couldn't see him what devil was talking to me or if it was the boy or who it was. Oh, I forgot to tell you how old he is, right? Would you like to know? He's only 17 years old. And the parents said that over the past few months, he didn't want to play his instrument anymore. And they saw something was wrong, but they thought it was just, you know, him going through a phase as a teenager. I try to tell people how serious this ministry is and how serious the enemy is about taking people out, hunting their soul, and destroying them. I try to tell people that there's nothing funny about this ministry, and it's not a joke. Not this ministry. I'm talking about the ministry of spiritual freedom. I'm talking about the ministry of deliverance, period. I try to tell people about why it is so important that you must know God, that you must maintain a personal relationship with God. And God's got to know that he can trust you. I heard this preacher saying this week, he was talking very negatively about preachers, really. And he was kind of saying like he was above or better than or had more than the average minister. Brothers and sisters, the ministry of God is immeasurable. The ministry of God, you cannot compare it with anybody else's ministry. You cannot measure it in worldly, in a worldly manner or worldly standards. It's impossible to do that. Because God will use whomever he chooses. You hear me? He'll use whomever he chooses. He will use whomever is available. And he will use whoever he knows that will respond to him without trying to have to try to figure it out. You gotta understand something. Two things. Put this in the chat room. The ministry of deliverance is a real soul-saving ministry. The ministry of deliverance is pretty much based on your own heart-to-heart relationship with God. And the ministry of deliverance is about snatching Satan, his devils, and his demons out of people. Period. That's what it's about. The ministry of deliverance is about how much of you are you willing to surrender and sacrifice to God? Really? That's all it's about? And I had already had some pretty rough moments yesterday. I should have known it was going to go into the night. I had already had some pretty rough moments yesterday with some unbelieving believers, with some people who told who I was ministering to, who believed themselves more than they believed God, and that's why they still messed up, who happened to be, some of the other ones were some of the most cynical unbelievers who need God in the worst kind of way, but believe themselves more than they believe God. So I'm surprised that my night ended up the way that it did into this morning. God had to use a believer to show an unbelieving believer he's real. God had to wake some parents up to call this ministry in order for them to save their own son in their own house. Something in that picture is not right. Because the parents thought, I say they thought, they didn't know. They thought that the condition of their son's heart was right. But the son is a teenager. Brothers and sisters, God had been troubling me. So he used all day and all night long yesterday to convince me. It didn't take much to it wasn't that he had to convince me, but I was taking my own sweet time. I was taking my own time about doing what I have to do. So I'm going to share this with you this morning. A couple years ago, I don't know how many, but I had put on my website that I could take anybody if they were called of God. That's why I played that song, God's Favor. And I could train them in about 72 hours how to be flowing and operating in a manifestation of the supernatural power of God with all the gifts kicking and flowing and everything. And it got all the way down to God telling me 6 people. But he changed it. And he said 7. I'm going to take 7 people. And in 72 hours, those 7 people are going to go from natural to supernatural ministry. They're going to be able to flow in the supernatural ministry. Now, there are 7 of you out there. And God has been talking to you about this, because if he's been talking to me about this, then he already has identified the 7 that I am to take and train in 3 days. And then I'm going to film it. And then I'm going to take the next 7 when he tells me to. There's no such thing as a preacher being against deliverance ministry, Brother Jason, because there is no such thing as deliverance ministry. Put that in the chat room. There is no such thing as deliverance ministry. You won't find it in the Bible. You won't find it in the Bible. Nowhere. The only thing mentioned related to a deliverance minister is an exorcist. Talk about the sons of Sceva that didn't know what they were doing, but they were Jewish exorcists. There's no such thing as deliverance ministry. There is a such thing as the full gospel ministry. And there is such thing as giftings by the Holy Spirit. There is such thing as the beloved in the Bible. There is such thing in Timothy as the presbyter. There is such thing as gifts, anointing, and there is such thing as God anointing a person with more in order to do specific works. As an example, it talks about the 70, but it got down to the 12. And then one of them was a devil, which dropped it down to 11 disciples, apostles. And then they appointed Matthias, which brought it back up to 12. 12 men that God had called out, anointed to change the world. the Bible speaks about the fivefold ministry gifting: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. The Bible talks about all those gifts and giftings. And the Bible talks about things that all believers are called to do: lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. But then there is more in what God calls us to do. So listen to this. Jesus ministered corporately and one-on-one individually, brothers and sisters. The church, Brother Jason, is individuals. Technically, the church of Jesus Christ is people. The church of Jesus Christ, not intended to be in one place contained in four walls and to become the dominion and kingdom of one man or one woman. So what God is doing, he is wanting you, his church, to step out in his glory as a demonstration of himself. I'm going to train seven of you how to do that. I'm only going to train seven because that's what God told me. First he said six. And I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. If you notice on any of my training on the internet, it says exorcism, healing, deliverance, inner healing ministry, combined in one, integrated healing. Because that's how I see Jesus doing it. I think it's great if a person wanted to focus on healing, because Jesus calls it all healing. Now, you listen to me carefully. It may not be for you, or it may be for you, but the bottom line is it's going to be who God shows me. Because everybody is not ready for this kind of ministry, period. You have to be called and chosen and anointed for this kind of ministry. And the only thing I have to do is give you the knowledge and the impartation, like Paul said, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. See, can somebody find that scripture for me, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift? That's what Paul said. Can you find it for me? And if you've never been delivered, this is definitely not the ministry for you. You won't be able to stand. Anybody find it yet? Then I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. And then lay hands. And Timothy, lay hands, laying on it by the laying on of hands of the presbyter. What is it? I'm writing on here. Jose found it. It's Romans 1 Romans 1:11. Romans 1:11 or 11:11. Somebody else say 11:11. Romans 1:11. Can you post that scripture in the chat room? There it is. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." And then Jessica found the other one, 1 Timothy 4:13-14. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter." There are some gifts. They're not going to be stirred up until hands are laid upon you by somebody that is operating in and through that gift. There are other gifts that have to be imparted unto you. To the end, ye may be established. What happened to me yesterday, last night, and early this morning has affected me deep, deep within my soul. I'm telling you, and my heart and my mind. It is hurting me that some people who really, really love God don't know how to receive his goodness. People that really, really love God are not receiving his goodness because ain't nobody showed it to them. And they done went to church after church, and they done paid money after money after money. But they can't receive it because they can't see it, they can't fathom it in their own mind. When I heard somebody say to Jessica, they said, "Well, how are you dealing with all that stuff now?" And I heard Jessica say, "Dealing with what? I'm healed. I have other things I have to deal with, but I have nothing to deal with because God healed me." And that thing zapped me too, because here was a Christian that doesn't understand the definition of the word healed. Can you put the definition of the word healed in the chat room? I don't think people get it. Parents knew. They thought they knew their son well enough. They would have told you their son would never have done this. Yet he did. And yet God saved him because of their relationship with him. Not because of the son's relationship. He didn't have none. Peter, I think. You got to work with me this morning. I'm wrecked. I am wrecked. But I think it was Peter that said, "Such as I have, give I thee. Arise. Get up on your feet and walk." Jessica just put in the chat room, healed of a person or treatment, cause a wound, injury, or a person to become sound or healthy again. Synonyms: make better, make well, cure, treat successfully, restore to health, Get someone back on their feet. Put someone on the road to recovery. Become sound or healthy again. Get better, get well, be cured, become healthy, recover, mend, improve, be restored. Somewhere along the line, people have been deceived and tricked as the definition of what healed is. Brothers and sisters, these people's son was sick with a different kind of sickness. He was sin sick. I think I have a whole teaching on sin sickness. I have to find it. I think it's under the battered saint syndrome. I invented that years ago. So it might be in, I think it's in the spirits are subject unto you, but under a different kind of heading. But I'm going to go back and find the old one when I wrote it. About sin sickness. Jose said episode number what?
892.
The Battered Saints Syndrome. Episode 2892. Post this in this chat room. Episode 2892, The Battered Saint Syndrome.
It's on SoundCloud, Omega Man.
I did that on Omega Man Radio. Brothers and sisters, I did that then, but I wrote it even before then. But now I realize it has become pandemic. Anyway, this is what I'm going to do. If you think you're supposed to be one of that seven, I want you to pray, and I want God to tell me. I'm going to take seven people, and I'm going to do it between a Friday and a Sunday evening. Seven people between a Friday and a Sunday. And I'm thinking about doing it Easter Resurrection weekend. Because a lot of people have some time off. But it doesn't matter, because if it's for you, you'll take the time off. Or God will give you the time off. Or you've already been given the time off. But right now, I can only do seven because I want to do it in my house, under my roof, in Dalton, Georgia, under an open heaven. And I'm finally getting it. See, I ain't got it all yet. I don't have it. And it will not be on Blog Talk. It will not be on Spreaker either. Because I just told you what God said. Lay hands on the presbytery. Impart. If you think you one of the seven, I'm asking you to pray to God. Because when you leave, you will be ready. And it's not difficult, because God been getting you ready from the day he called you and the day he chose you and the day he anointed you.
But it took me 30 years to get in the position. So you say, well, Erica, aren't you being a bit vain? The Bible says Jesus came down through 32 generations. 32 generations. That's a long time in preparation for your salvation. I'm going to take 7. You know why? God wants you anointed over these witches. God wants you anointed over these people who are teaching crazy stuff about the spiritual realm. You're supposed to be able to enter in and out of it. You're supposed to be able to work in it and work through it and work out of it and work around it, because you're supposed to have and know you have dominion. God needs you activated and in service. I'm not even exactly sure when Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday is. How much time do we have? I have a book almost finished written, but I couldn't even write the last chapter. So I couldn't even send it to my friend and read it and help me edit it, because I'm not sending nothing else to the editor, because they take the anointing out of my stuff and rewrite it. But that isn't what I'm going to use. I'm going to sit here between now, it's the 21st. Today is the what? The 7th. And I'm going to write this manual for this training from a blank piece of paper like I write everything else. But if you haven't read, I think I'm going to, those other 6 books, the ancillary books to the spirits are subject unto you, I'm going to have those available. The spirits are subject unto you, and the new, I guess I'm going to call it Impart Activator, whatever. But I am very sad. And I'm going to repent right now for God to have to go to this extreme to get me to do this or to step it up. I'm thinking I had time. I don't have time, and neither do you. You're not, and you're not becoming a deliverance minister. You're becoming a minister of Christ Jesus. The models only show you and impart into you how he wants it done. But the same Jesus that blesses you to be able to cast out a demon is the same Jesus that imparts into you the ability to cause the winds to cease, to cause the storms to stop. It's the same power. It's the same power. So you say, well, Erica, why we ain't never seen you on TV? Brothers and sisters, God gave me a mission. Take those dirty garments. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. God told me I wasn't never going to be no out front. He told me, I know I'm in his perfect will doing what I'm doing. But he also told me I would be on the scene doing what he tells me to do when he pours out his glory. God got to have somebody to send out after the one lost sheep. Shepherd, that's my last name. Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. Shepherd. That's my last name. I'm going to ask you to talk to God for this first seven. And always the first set the pattern. Yeah, it is. Erica Shepherd. Amen. God knows what he's doing. He ain't never made a mistake because he can't. If God made a mistake, it would be called a miracle. You got that? If God made a mistake, it would be called a miracle, and you and I would never know nothing about it. Those of you that think it, but you can't get here, stop doubting God. If it's you, he done already made a way. He already got a plan. All you got to do is step up to the commission. Step up to the commission. And trust God. I'm not dependent on no oil. I ain't dependent on no baptism. I am depending on God to do what he said he was going to do. But glory be to God, it's here. It's here. Amen, Marcia. And since it's here, you know he's going to avail you of it. This is your notice for service. It's up to you. I'm probably not going to mention it again. I may. You know that song that girl sing, Do Life Big? Jesus wants you to do him big. Because this is what you were born for. To do God big. I'll see you tomorrow on the TED-Line. Pray about it.
Yo, we're just there for doing time to do life big. You see me?
I gotta slow down. Stop for a second, take a look around.
When God calls you, he equips you. You can't say you need no deliverance first because you're not coming here to be delivered, but I guarantee you, you won't leave here with nothing you came here with because you're going to leave here with more and more and more of him.
Yo, we're just there for do it and do life, make you see me?
I gotta slow down, stop for a second, take a look around, and I gotta take time to hear that little voice inside saying I came to give you life, to spread your wings and fly. I got a secret to share. You are enough to change the atmosphere. So go and do life big, big. I wanna do life big, big. Break out in blue skies. I can feel my heart beating inside. Yeah, it's like a new day. Woke up to hear you say, I came to give you life.
Yo, we're just there for do it and do life, make you see me?
I gotta slow down.